It is June 1st, 2021, and this is the John Lothian News Daily Update. I am John Lothian. This podcast includes commentary from our hits and takes section of JLN, stories from the first read section of today's newsletter, a video from OIC 2022, a listing of the top three stories from yesterday's newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to learn about the history of trading from our Open Outcry Traders History Project or the Path to Electronic Trading video series at johnlothiannews.com. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Today's lead story is about the Intelligent Medicine Exchange, a new futures exchange offering healthcare-oriented futures contracts, something that has been predicted for a long time. The list of people advising or on the board for the exchange is impressive and features some veteran CME Group executives and a former CFTC division head. Eileen Flaherty is the latter, as she is a former FCM executive who served as director of the Division of Swap and Intermediary Oversight at the CFTC. Pupinder Gill and Kim Taylor are strategic advisors to the Intelligent Medicine Exchange, and Felix Carabella is on the staff as commercial officer. Ken Grant is another former CME Group connection, as he serves as the IMX Risk Management Director and was a member of the CME Group Risk Committee. While I'm in London, the AFM is also having its annual meeting, and its chairman, often referred to here as the most interesting man in the world, Pat Kenny, asked me to be an after-lunch speaker. Thus, I will give a 20-minute after-lunch recap of the issues of the conference and some of the challenges of the industry. The Association of Futures Markets annual meeting is set for Wednesday, June 8th, which is actually the second day of IDX. The issues the AFM conference will address include the future of the exchanges, products and services of tomorrow, efficiency improvement, crypto and low carbon emission contracts, commodity boom, and its impact on clearing and settlement, blockchain, smart contracts, and automated exchanges. You can find the program for the conference with a link in today's newsletter. Other speakers at the AFM annual meeting include Patrick Young, Harander Misra, Chris Sturges, and Annalisa Matutu, Brian Brown, Philip Simons, Andy Jennings, Pat Kenny, Will Mitting, Dr. Chakapayan Terarichi Olafuton Olasimo, Denise Huang, Christian Moeller, Sebastian Gawenda, and David Klotz, Martin Bain, Michael Smith, and Magnus Ahlquist. John Shuttle, the father of my best friend from college, passed away at the age of 89. John was an incredible story, a great leader, and a true inspiration. While I was at Purdue, I met his son Pat and daughter-in-law Monet. They are the godparents of my son Timothy. John Shuttle was the superintendent of the Indiana State Police while I was at Purdue, and one of the most sought-after people for volunteer positions in the state because of his reputation for integrity, fairness, and leadership skills. I learned a lot from the short time I spent with him about managing work and volunteer work. I've been approached to take John J. Lothian and Company public in a new alternative means similar to a SPAC. This one is called a SPLAC. The backers won't tell me what it's an acronym for. I'm taking a pass on being the first splat. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. From our OIC 2022 Industry Leader video series, Bhavan Joseph updates JLN on Greenwood Project progress. Greenwood Project founder and executive director Bhavan Joseph was interviewed by John Lothian News at the 2022 Options Conference in San Antonio, Texas, about the progress of the program and the success the young people in it are experiencing. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The title, Plot Twist Movie, Theaters Fear Popcorn Shortfall Will Be a Spoiler. Film fans are returning to the cinema after 2 years of dark screens, but supply chain issues foreshadow shortages at the concession stand. Now playing at a theater near you, a suspense drama over whether there will be enough popcorn for the summer movie-going season. The plot was palatable at CinemaCon, an annual convention for movie theater operators this spring. The Las Vegas event floor had a festive vibe coming after 2 years of pandemic-darkened screens. A-list vendors such as Mars, Wrigley, M&M's, Snickers, and Twix, hawked sugary wares near makers of polyester theater worker vests, and seating experts modeling the latest in auditorium recliners. My comment, the bad news, not enough popcorn. The worst news, way too much butter. Here's a story from Crane Chicago Business. Ken Griffin gives $5 million to help Miami prepare for disasters. The billionaire hedge fund mogul is so far the biggest donor to a new fund meant to help the city in event of a hurricane. Citadel's Ken Griffin is the biggest donor so far to a new fund that will help Miami respond to disasters such as hurricanes. Griffin, a Florida native and chief executive officer of Chicago-based Citadel, has given $5 million to help launch the Miami Disaster Resilience Fund. The goal is to raise $20 million, nonprofit groups supporting the effort said Tuesday in a statement. My comment, I don't think that's enough money to prepare Miami for Three Points Communications' Drew Mauch's relocating there. He is a whirlwind in the PR business, not quite a hurricane, though. Here's a story from Bloomberg. As crypto losses hit investors, litigators pick up. Lawyers see rise in suits targeting issuers of digital coins and tokens. Lawsuits over cryptocurrency losses are mounting across the country as investing in digital tokens and coins has become mainstream and the money at stake has increased significantly. Even before the recent plunge in crypto prices, the industry already was seeing an uptick in lawsuits, which have come in several forms. Many of the cases have been fueled by investors who allege some digital coins were hyped and sold under false pretenses. Some proposed class action suits allege pump and dump schemes involving celebrity promoters. Others allege that some digital tokens are unregistered securities or that cryptocurrency issuers were deceitful in their marketing. My comment, good luck. The crypto exchanges have hired all the lawyers that understand crypto already. Here's the top three stories from Tuesday's JLN. Our top story Tuesday, by a wide margin, was the Chicago Tribune editorial, Improbably Downtown Chicago Gets a New Open Outcry Trading Floor, about Cboe Global Markets' new trading floor venue scheduled to open June 6th in the Chicago Board of Trade building. Second was Vijay Angelo's essay in City AM, There is a Fundamental Flaw in the Crypto Economy. Third was a timely object lesson on the dangers of tight coupling in financial markets and hence the lunacy of fetishizing algorithms from Professor Craig Perong, aka the Streetwise Professor. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first is an IMX press release. First futures exchange aimed at healthcare economy has filed for regulatory approval. Intelligent Medicine Exchange, IMX, trademarked, of course, to offer new risk management investing tools based on underlying healthcare data. Intelligent Medicine Exchange today announced its plan to launch the first financial exchange focused on the healthcare economy. IMX has filed for regulatory approval with the U.S. Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC, to be a designated contract market, DCM, a futures exchange focused on contracts that will enable individual and institutional market participants to manage risk and invest in multiple components of the healthcare ecosystem. Here's another story from Bloomberg. Crypto goes shopping for a regulator it can push around. The industry is concerned about how, not whether, it's regulated. Sam Bankman-Fried, the chief executive officer of FTX, the crypto exchange, has been getting a lot of attention lately for his wealth, his scruffy aesthetic, He drives a Corolla. He lives with roommates in a $3,000 a night resort in a tax haven. But never mind that, and for his grand ideas about saving us with his money. Here's another story, this one from the FT. Regulators approve Hong Kong China ETF Connect after long delays. 6 years after scheme was proposed, investors will soon be able to trade eligible ETFs on each other's exchanges. Hong Kong and mainland China regulators have announced they finally have come to an agreement for the long-awaited inclusion of exchange-traded funds into the Stock Connect program after years of multiple missed deadlines. Initial eligibility requirements have been outlined, including limited Hong Kong listed ETFs to those with at least 1.7 billion Hong Kong dollars in assets over the past 6 months, and only including products that track indices that primarily track Hong Kong listed stocks. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling a friend about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a John Lothian newsletter subscriber, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye.